Your speaker in this lesson is Larry Acuff.
In the book of 1 Timothy, the Apostle Paul is encouraging prayer. And he is saying that supplication and prayers might be made for every man. But in that passage of Scripture, he uses the word thanksgiving. The Bible tells us in the book of Philippians, chapter number 1, Paul writes to the church at Philippi, and he said, I give thanks unto God for you. If you begin to read the epistles of the Apostle Paul, you will find that it is on numerous occasions that the Apostle will use that word thanks or thanksgiving or God be thanked. In the book of Romans, chapter number 6, he uses that word, but God be thanked. And we're going to look at that a little bit later on. As you and I look at these coming days, there is a day set aside that we refer to as Thanksgiving. I want to suggest to every one of us today, and that is the simple fact, that every child of God should be thankful every day. That you and I need to learn how to overcome ingratitude. Recently, in a television program, I believe it was Dr. Field, he was dealing with folks who were rude. And he had one fellow on there, his daughter, had encouraged Dr. Field to have her dad because he was a very rude individual. He was so rude to this waitress that she began to cry. There was another lady that they had on there, and this particular lady would never let anyone else talk, but they said she always interrupt everyone when they were talking. The very seed of that concept is ingratitude. The very seed of rudeness is simply saying that I exalt myself and that you ought to be thankful that I am in your presence. The Bible teaches us to humble ourselves in the sight of God. So when we ask this question, how do you overcome ingratitude? I want us to look at some passages of Scripture in the Bible that will help us to understand this. Now, in the book of Colossians, and that should be chapter number 2 and verse number 7, the Bible says, abounding therein in thanksgiving. Ladies and gentlemen, you and I must understand that the Bible commands us to be thankful. And so the Bible says, abounding in thanksgiving. In the book of Colossians, chapter number 3 and verse number 15, we find that the Apostle Paul writes to the church at Colossae, and again he says, be ye thankful. Now again, folks, this is not something that is optional on our part. The Bible says in Colossians 4 and verse 2, that you and I are to have a thankful spirit, that we are to watch the same in thanksgiving. Now, my friend, listen, if we had no other passage of Scripture than that, then you and I could just go our way and say, well, we will simply forget it because we only have it three times. Oh, no, no, no. If the Bible tells us once, ladies and gentlemen, that is efficient. Giving thanks always, the Apostle Paul writes to the church at Ephesus. I want to emphasize that you and I, are you and I grateful? Are we able to say to God, are we able to say to others, I am thankful for what God has given to me? The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. You and I must recognize that thankfulness is not just a command as far as the Bible is concerned. But you and I have example. And that is when we look at the life of Jesus Christ in the book of Matthew chapter 11 to verse 25, and He goes on to say that everything I have comes from the Father. But we see our Lord Jesus Christ, and He says, I thank Thee, O Father. I want to ask you a question. If Jesus Christ, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, the divine Son of God, if He had the attitude of thankfulness, should you and I not have that same attitude? In the book of Matthew, chapter number 26, do you remember when our Lord instituted the Lord's Supper? The Bible says that He took the bread, He took the fruit of the vine, and what did He do? The Bible says He took the cup and He gave thanks. You know, so many individuals do not have an attitude of thanksgiving. I'm reminded of a little boy. One day he had gone to some friend's house for lunch. And so when they sat down to eat, the mother just set all the food on the table. And everybody just began to eat. I mean, they just started eating. This little boy said, "Do y'all not have a prayer?" And they said, "No." He said, "You just like my dog. He just starts right on in eating." There are a lot of folks who have the same attitude, and that is that I deserve everything that God has given me. When you go to the book of John, chapter, you think about this. Here they want to feed all these folks. And what did Jesus do? They took the loaves and the bread. And what did our Lord do? The Bible says that He prayed. And so what do we see, folks? In overcoming in gratitude, what do we see? We see that the Bible commands us to be thankful. We see that Jesus is our example in thanksgiving. We find that David in the book of Psalm 100 in verse number 4, enter into His gates with thanksgiving. In the book of Daniel chapter number 6, do you remember when Daniel set his face toward Jerusalem those three times a day that the Bible says that he thanked God? You and I have the idea again that, I deserve everything the Lord has given to me. Here is the Apostle Paul in Acts 27. There is a shipwreck. These folks had not eaten for several days. And so Paul said, listen, you need to take nourishment, you need to eat, and the Bible says that he prayed a prayer of thanksgiving. You and I cannot be thankful enough. In Revelation chapter 7, verses 11 and 12, the Bible speaks of the angels giving thanks unto God. So, ladies and gentlemen, now we see that we are commanded to be thankful. We see that Jesus Christ is our example in thankfulness. We see that the patriarch David taught us in the Psalms to be thankful. We see the example of a man like Daniel in the Old Testament in his thankfulness. We see the Apostle Paul. We see the angels. Should this not impress upon our hearts and upon our minds that we need to be thankful? Remember never to forget. In the book of Psalm 103, verse 2, the Bible says that you and I are not to forget to be thankful. Over in the book of Genesis, and you're familiar with this fact, you remember when Joseph was thrown in prison? And you remember that the baker and the butler were thrown in prison, and each of them had a dream. And the baker's dream was that he saw the birds eating out of the basket. And Joseph said, look, that means that you're going to be slain. The bird's going to eat you, your flesh. And the Bible says that the butler had a dream that he again was serving the king with the wine. And Joseph said, you're going to be restored to your position. But listen to what he said. Do not forget me. Guess what? He forgot him. I heard about a fellow by the name of Art King. He was a radio host. The radio program had to do with finding jobs for individuals. And here's what I read. That he had helped over 2,565 people find a job. Very few ever returned back to him to thank him for what he had done. Joseph said to the butler, when you go back, do not forget me. Guess what he did? He forgot him. Until the Pharaoh had a dream. You see, ladies and gentlemen, it's just so easy for us to forget. To look back upon our lives. You know the story in the book of Luke chapter number 17 of the 10 lepers that were cleansed. And you remember that on that occasion, one came back to thank our Lord, and he said, were there not 10 who were cleansed? But ladies and gentlemen, you and I, in our lives, on a daily basis, we need to remember to never forget. There's an interesting passage in the Bible. Jabesh Gilead. The Ammonites had came upon this city and they were taking these men captive. And so finally the men said, well, we'll tell you what, we will serve the Ammonites. And they said, well, we will spare your lives and we will let you serve us. But before we do, we're going to pluck out your right eye. Every man's right eye would be plucked out. So the men of Jabesh Gilead said, give us a week to think about this, and we'll come back to you. Now, I don't know what would have happened in the course of that week in the sense that I don't know why the Ammonites said, okay, we'll give you. But they said, you give. And basically what they said is, we're going to try to get some help. When the news got out that the Ammonites were going to take the men of Jabesh Gilead and make them captives and that they were going to pluck out their right eye, King Saul heard about it. And the Bible says that he was infuriated. That's my word. The Bible said he was angry. And so what he did, he mounted up his men and he just went out and he just got rid of the Ammonites. Saved the people of Jabesh Gilead. Now go with me, ladies and gentlemen. Some 20 chapters of the Bible. A lot of events have taken place between this time. Saul has been in battle against David. Saul has been fighting for his kingship against this man that God has already appointed as one of his men, or as one of his kings. In the 31st chapter of the book of 1 Samuel, Saul and his son, they're against a battle and they lose. And the Bible says that Saul fell on his sword. The last couple of verses in 1 Samuel chapter 31 says that the men of Jabesh Gilead, they came and took the body of Saul and buried it. You see, ladies and gentlemen, they did not forget. They remembered what Saul had done for them. As you and I look back upon our lives, I look back upon my life and I can remember those things that have taken place and those individuals that have done something for me. I remember, folks, I had access to an airplane. I learned how to fly. I had access to the airplane. I was given keys to the airplane. I was given keys to the hangar. I was shown where the gas trucks would come and top off those tanks every time. I flew that airplane for many months, a couple of years. I never spent one single dime to pay for that airplane, to pay for the inspection, to pay for the gasoline, to pay for the instructor. Not a penny. I don't have an airplane. I cannot say to you, go out of the airport and you can use my airplane. But ladies and gentlemen, I can look back on our lives and I can see a gracious lady who was in the congregation, and here were just a young, poor preacher and his kids and had absolutely nothing almost, and to have this lady show up at the door with a beautiful coat and take that coat off and say to my wife, I want you to have this. For me to be ungrateful. For me to fail to see the needs of the body of Jesus Christ. For me to fail to see the needs of others. Ladies and gentlemen, remember never to forget. Number two, do not major on your troubles. You know what, ladies and gentlemen, our society, I don't want to be unkind, I do not want to be sarcastic, but I want to tell you what I think sometimes. We have developed a society of what I call whiners. You see, ladies and gentlemen, we have had it so wonderful in our country. I wish I could take every member of this congregation and I could transport you with me to Sofia, Bulgaria. The Bulgarian people, the government tells them when we will turn your power on. If I lived in Bulgaria, I'd just have to get cold, folks. Because you know what? The government says when we get ready to turn the heat on, we'll turn it on. The government in Bulgaria says, I don't care how sick you are, and you can whine and cry all you want to, but you go to the hospital, and there might be somebody there to take care of you, and there may not be. Because we only pay the doctors the same thing we pay the bus drivers, because we think everybody ought to be equal. If I took you to Bulgaria and gave you a job, you'd work 40 hours a week, and you would make $30 or $40, or at the most, if you were really good, you'd make $60 a month. Now, how's your day? You see, ladies and gentlemen, because we have gotten into this concept and we're whiners, and we look at all of the bad things and all of the troubles that have happened to me, and I want to make sure that God is well aware of it. But listen to what Paul said. Paul said, if I must needs glory, Paul said, I will glory in the things which concern my infirmities. You see, ladies and gentlemen, we have been so blessed. Number three, overcoming ingratitude. Think how much better off we are than so many. You go to some societies in our world today. I'm going to tell you, folks, look, all of us, I mean, our closets will not contain what we've got. You replace that, my friend, with one old shirt or one pair of slacks and one pair of shoes. Take away that modern bathroom. You think you're in bad shape? How much better off we are, ladies and gentlemen, than folks throughout our world? Take away that modern house, that modern furniture. How about that? I'm telling you, folks, there are 6 billion people in the world. And you and I are the most blessed. If you were to go to Thailand, according to the figures I was able to research and find, that their annual income, disposable income in Thailand for the average individual is $3,167. And poor old Donald Trump. I remember about 15 years ago when he was having a lot of problems and the court said, we're going to give you $400,000 a month to live on. Somebody needs to teach him frugality. You see, ladies and gentlemen, when you and I look at our life, we're so much better off than other societies. There was a family of a husband and wife. And one Sunday morning after this church service was concluded and they asked everybody to remain, this husband stood up before the congregation and said, my wife and I have decided that we're going to make a rather large, and I don't know what the figure was, but we're going to make a large contribution to the work of the Lord in this congregation in memory of our son who was recently slain in war. There was another couple sitting out in the audience, and the wife kind of poked her husband and said, you know what, we ought to do that. And her husband looked at him and said, our son is not dead. She said, that's why we ought to do it. You see, ladies and gentlemen, that you and I have been so blessed that we have taken everything that God has given to us. You know the elderships of every congregation of the Lord's people? There's not a week goes by that we don't have a missionary call or contact, or we don't have a student wanting to go to the Memphis School of Preaching who doesn't call us and say, I need your help. And we say, God bless you, brothers and sisters. But we can't. Now, we're not by ourselves. Every congregation experiences that. Should it be, ladies and gentlemen, that with all that God has blessed me with, our coffers should be so full of funds that it's not a matter of saying, hey, we can't do it. It's a matter of saying, hey, we're looking for folks that we can help to preach the gospel, that folks who need money to carry the gospel to a mission field, or young men who need to preach. Almost every eldership in our brotherhood over the next 2 or 3 weeks will be begging and pleading and getting down on their knees and saying, will you please help us reach our budget? It ought to be full. Why? How do you overcome ingratitude? Remember, never to forget. How do you overcome ingratitude? Look at our blessings and not our bruises. How do you overcome ingratitude? Remember, ladies and gentlemen, how blessed we are. How we far exceed the world. Now let me give you one last passage of Scripture, and then we'll sing the song of encouragement. In the book of Romans, chapter number 6, the Bible tells Paul asked the question, he said, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection, knowing this, that the old man of sin is put away. And then he goes on to say, but God be thanked, ladies and gentlemen, because of Jesus Christ, because of the love of God, John 3:16, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, because of the love of God, because of the love of Jesus Christ, I will be able to stand before God in the day of judgment and hear Him say, enter in to the joys of thy Lord. Not because of what Larry Acuff has done, but because of what Jesus Christ has done. How do I show my thankfulness to Christ? By obedience to His gospel. I can show my thankfulness to God by saying, not my will, but thy will be done. I believe in Jesus, your Son, and I'm willing to change my life. I'll be baptized. God be thanked that you are the servants of sin, but you've obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine that was delivered to you.